May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When we've been in church a long time, I don't mean just this morning, it feels like a long time already, but I mean we've been in church for a number of years, especially if we've been part of churches where we follow the Sunday lectionary and making kind of weird noises this morning, am I? No? Okay. We're part of the Sunday lectionary, and so these readings, they keep coming around at us. We hear them quite often, and we know exactly how these stories begin and end. We know that the moment that we hear that people are fishing in their father Zebedee's boat, we know what's going to happen. We know that they're going to be called by Jesus, they're going to leave the boat, and that's going to be that. When we know these stories really well, and we know that beginning, we know the end, something that would have been very striking and almost shocking to the first-time readers gets lost. And what gets lost is the now-ness of these stories, the now-ness, the sense that exactly then everything was changing. Exactly in that moment, God was unfolding the future for which they were longing. That actually really is the unifying spirit of our readings this morning. The intense now-ness of these young people called by Jesus, whose lives changed dramatically in that very instant. The intense now-ness of the early church, when they expected Jesus to return at any time, very, very soon. And so we hear in our reading this morning, Paul inviting them to live now, as if it is literally going to happen like before the end of the week. And therefore, people who are married should live as if they're not married, because that's how they'll be when the kingdom comes. And if you're mourning, you should live as if you're not mourning, because when the kingdom comes, you won't be mourning. And it's going to be like on Thursday. And, you know, and if you're rejoicing, well, you should live as if you're not rejoicing, because whatever it is you're rejoicing over, probably by Thursday, it's not really going to be a big thing anymore. So we live now exactly in this moment, because the future is like coming into pass, like right here, right now. It is all happening in this very moment, and it is all unfolding. God is unfolding the future that we have been waiting for. In large measure, we've lost this sense of intense anticipation in the church. Because I don't know, that's not really very sustainable. You can't kind of live like that for terribly long before you start to say, whew, man, I gotta like, whew, shake this off. That is like too intense. And so we start shaking it off and we get into our routines and our habits, and that is all good and beautiful and wonderful and everything, but we lose this intense, shocking, outrageous immediacy in these Bible readings today. We've lost this sense of anticipation in the church, and we don't really see on an ordinary basis every single moment as the unfolding revelation of what is to come, like they did in the early church. But that is factually no less true now than it was in those days. It's factually no less true that God unfolds the future one present moment at a time. It is factually no less true that this moment now is exactly the moment when the future is being born. Today we have our annual meeting of parishioners, which sounds like everybody's idea of a rollicking good time, I know. My mother once said to me, she said, oh, you want to hope, when you're a leader, you want to hope that the annual meeting is boring, because if it's exciting, it's exciting for all the wrong reasons. All the best ones are deadly dull. Oh, good to know. So let's all just hope that today is relatively boring. Fingers crossed. But the annual meeting of parishioners Called is a moment that calls us to pay attention to this moment right now. It calls us to kind of step out of just the ordinary routine of everything and to stop, to look back at what's past, to look forward at what's coming to birth in our midst as we teeter on the brink of a new year. So right now, we are at the beginning of the second year of our revitalization program, which is the diocese committed to a three-year program of funding for us. So last year was the first year, and it was a year we tried some new things out. We had some people generating ideas for us. We kind of tried some things and learned what worked and learned what didn't. We learned that Ann Cool is like a brilliant event planner and makes events really easy for me. So that's awesome. We know that that works. And it was also a year of learning, like, what grabbed us, what energized us, what brought us to life, what gave us a sense of vitality and vigor, and also a year of learning about things in our congregation's past that are likely to hold us back and that are possibly have the risk of crippling us later on. And so we learned about those things and we started sort of having a vision of what it would be like to move forward on all of those fronts. And as a result of all doing all that last year, now this year can be a year of implementing some of the great ideas that folks have generated and saying yes to the opportunities that God is opening in our midst, especially new ministry opportunities with our refugees, and continuing that work of healing our past. We've named some of that past, but naming it isn't the same as healing it. And so now we actually get to go on this journey of trying to figure out what does it look like to heal from that and to actually kind of become new. So we get this opportunity this year. If we compare our now, this year, today, to our now, a year ago, it is remarkable how far we've come already. So our future is very much already coming to birth in our midst, all around us, and has very visibly this year. But this coming year, excuse me, I need to cough that way. This coming year, the future will be coming to us in other ways as well, and one particular way that I want to talk about today. So last October, Michael and I celebrated 2 years with you very fine folks here at St. George's. And that makes this year my third year as your rector. And just as the same Bible passages come around again and again and again every Sunday, so the same kinds of patterns repeat themselves in church life. Generally, the third and fourth years are a difficult time for parishes and their rectors. The honeymoon phase, which is like the first and the second year, right? Well, kind of those are over. And what happens is we all kind of start to let our guard down. We've built enough trust with each other and we start showing each other more of our real selves. And unfortunately, for some clergy and parishes, it turns out that behaviors like politeness, graciousness, and giving each other the benefit of the doubt, well, unfortunately, those were like good behaviors that they were putting on in order to impress each other. And what happens is those things start to fall by the wayside, and they kind of can fall into like a bit of familiar, contempt is hopefully not the right word here, but you know what I'm saying. You start to become familiar and comfortable with each other in ways that, you know, are kind of no longer so lovely. And studies show that how a parish and their clergy behave with one another through the third and the fourth year strongly influences how long that pastoral relationship will last. Well, friends, I aspire to have a long and healthy pastoral relationship with you folks. That's like my dream. That's my dream. I know people who've gone 20 years, Like, I know people who've gone 20 years with a congregation, and I think, wow, like, that would be so beautiful. There is nothing to say that it couldn't be the case, except for what might happen between us all in these next the third and the fourth year. This is when, together, we're going to probably determine whether we're going to really stress each other out and we're going to fall apart and I'll be gone by the fifth year, right? Or whether we don't do our work together and by the seventh year we're all bored with each other and we kind of feel like, oh, you know, the opportunities, the possibilities are kind of dull here and you guys are looking to move on and I'm kind of looking to move on because we never did the work and push past those boundaries. This is all going to happen in these next 2 years. And so then that's when people generally leave in the seventh year because everybody's bored of each other. You know, and then there's some 12-year mark. I'm not experienced enough to know what the 12-year mark is, but but apparently all that stuff, we set all of that up probably in these next 2 years together. So I aspire to have a long and healthy pastoral relationship with you. I love working here. I love your energy. And I love your deep and searching faithfulness and your resilience and your perseverance. It is not a black mark to me what you guys have all lived through. In fact, I look at that and I go, holy heavens. That's a group of people I want to work with. That's a group of people who are not going to get up and storm out if we decide to repaint the walls of the church in the same color, which does happen in congregations. Great, fine. Those people can leave. You guys are not going to do that. You're not going to fall apart over stupid things because you have held together through many big, challenging things. And what that says to me is, wow, you guys have so much scope and capacity and potential and resilience and perseverance. I love it. That's why I wanted to come to this church. I asked to come to this church. And that's why I wanted to come to this church. Because I admire you guys for surviving through all the stuff that you've survived through. And I love how open-heartedly you've responded to the opportunities that God is opening in our midst. Most of the stuff that we've done this year, we've done like 6 or 7 things that every single one of them would be a multi-year strategic priority for a lot of congregations. We just breezed through them in 1 year. Half of us are about to fall apart, but, you know. But you guys aren't. You guys are loving it. That's the sense that I get. And I love that about you. I really appreciate the creative license that you've offered me. I'm a first-time rector, and you guys are offering me tons of creative license to try stuff out and take risks. And then, you know, when things don't work out, then we all just, you know, kind of learn from it and move on. And I really, really appreciate that. And I deeply value that you're willing to stake your trust in me as we talk about serious and difficult and painful things so that they can be healed and we can find a new way together for the future of St. George's. So I want our pastoral relationship to be a long and a healthy one. And that means in these next 2 years, not only will we be following through on our revitalization program, not only will we be continuing on that journey of healing, very unintentional journey of healing from our past hurts as a congregation, not only will we be learning what yes means when God offers us a refugee ministry, we will also be working on our relationship to set ourselves up for that long and healthy pastoral relationship that we want to have. We'll want to stay healthy and aware and thoughtful of how we are interacting with each other as our relationship begins to evolve into something deeper and more long-lasting. So during these next 2 years, it will be incredibly important for us to grow deeper in trust and not to just let things stay as they are. And the best and the easiest way to do this is also maybe a little scary. It's also maybe going to require some courage from all of us, but it's really worth it for us to grow into this next stage of our journey together in this wonderful and healthy pastoral relationship that'll go the distance. And it goes like this. If you have something to say to me, please come and say it to me directly. And if I have something to say to you, I'm going to come and say it to you directly. It's really simple. It's really simple. One of the things that commonly undermines pastoral relationships in the third and the fourth years is that people don't say what they need to say, right? They still either want to be polite about it, or they're still worried about how the person is going to respond, or they think that they don't matter, their opinion doesn't matter, whatever it is. They don't say what they're going to say. And then what often happens is they get bitter about it, right? And then we know what happens then. Then you go and talk to the wrong person about it, because you should be talking to the person who's directly involved. And instead, you go and talk to the wrong person about it, not because they're wrong, but because you should be talking directly to the right person. You go and talk to a different person about it. And then factions start to form in the congregation. That is what makes for a blow-up at 5 years, or boredom that is insurmountable at 7 years, or whatever the heck it is that happens at 12 years. I don't know what that is. Friends, there would be no better way to undermine what we're trying to do, even if being forthright with each other might be really scary for a lot of us. I grew up with a father who had an explosive temper. And man, you like never spoke directly to him about anything. And never, ever, ever spoke to him about like adjusting his behaviors or anything. None of that was worth it. So like I literally mean it when I say like courage, scary, like all of those things. It's always scary for me when I have to kind of like pull myself together in order to go and do that thing. And I ask that we actually be brave with each other about this. And I'm kind of going to promise you guys that I'm going to be brave about this too. This is why I have a personal coach to work through all of this stuff. And I know that this maybe has also been part of the pattern in this congregation. And I think probably in a lot of people's lives, right? We don't want to hurt each other. We wouldn't want to offend somebody. You know, or we're worried that somebody is going to lose their head if we go and bring something to them. And so we kind of like tiptoe around things, and then we all know what happens. Then it gets under your skin and you get bitter, and we talk to other people and we go, man, like I just hate it when she does that, and I wish that she wouldn't do that. Or, you know, have you noticed she talks to our congregation in a certain way, and that just really rubs me the wrong way. And then, you know, and then like, oh man, and then half the congregation is thinking that thing, right? But I actually wish for you to give me the opportunity to learn. I wish for you to give me the opportunity to change, to grow, to improve. And I wish to give you guys that opportunity too, if there is, you know, that thing. So like that takes a lot of guts to do that thing. But I promise you, I have healed from my past hurts enough that I actually don't lose my head when somebody brings to me something, and that we can work it out together for the good of our parish. So if we're agreed that we all wish to have this long and healthy and wonderful pastoral relationship together, then let's make this commitment to one another here in this holy sanctuary on this day when we're going to have laying on of hands and anointing with oil after the service. And then we're going to go downstairs and we're going to think about the year to come, and we're going to continue on our journey together. Let's make this commitment to each other that for the good of everything that we're trying to do, and for the good of everyone here, and for the good of everybody that we hope is going to come and join this church, let's make one heck of a foundation by sharing our feedback with the specific person involved and giving each other the opportunity to improve, and giving each other the opportunity to grow, and giving the opportunity for us together to become stronger for our future. Does that sound fair? All right. And we'll just be courageous together, like my knees are knocking together right now. So I commit to you that I will do the same, okay? And if we hold to that, we give ourselves the best opportunity to grow deep and strong and honest and real relationships with each other. And that'll be the thing that when a newcomer comes to our church, that'll be the thing that they find here. And that'll be the thing that will attract awesome people to our congregation. That'll be the thing that will give us such an awesome possibility to help more people in the future, to serve more people, to grow and thrive and become healthy and become an awesome congregation. We give ourselves the best chance that we can to grow into a parish where we value each other and we care and support each other and we're honest and trusting with each other and we can listen and learn from one another and we can grow in awesome, warm-hearted goodness towards each other and everyone who comes through our doors and everyone that we meet. That's like the sales pitch that I'm working on with myself. I believe that that is actually what God wishes most deeply for us here at St. George's, because to do that, that's healing some hurts, right? Having that kind of confidence and trust in each other. And also, it would kind of require that each of us, we have to, you know that each of us is strong enough to hear somewhat uncomfortable truths about ourselves. You know, if you have something to say to me, then I gotta know, actually, I can sit here and listen to it for the good of this parish, for my own healing. And you're strong enough too. Every person in this room is strong enough to have somebody come to them and tell them something that's uncomfortable. And to sit there, to listen to it, learn from it, grow better, have an awesome relationship with that person going forward, and to be involved with each other in growing ahead in our lives in Christ. Well, friends, a beautiful future like that comes into birth in all kinds of little moments. That is actually a story of immediacy, of this exact nowness, you know, the exact moment when somebody rubs you the wrong way, the exact moment when you're just about to open your mouth and complain about somebody else to this person over here. That kind of future comes to birth in all kinds of small ways. All kinds of little courageous, brave, honorable decisions that we can make together. And over the next 2 years, we can midwife that future if we want, if we're determined, if we're aware of what we're doing, and if we're willing to grow and to learn together. Because the sad thing is that there's other futures that are possible too. And other futures that if we don't pay attention, we might accidentally midwife those ones. So God is opening a great opportunity for us here. God is inviting us to step moment by moment through this door. God is calling us on into an incredible new year, into awesome possibility, and all of it is happening in all these little moments. So may God grant us this intense sense of nowness and the grace to see our future being born in all the little moments and the bravery to do what we can and put aside our fears and grow deeper into our relationships to help God's beautiful hopes for us come to birth moment by moment, even in the midst of our smallest interactions. May God give us the grace to see it, and may God give us the grace to live it. Here's to an absolutely awesome next 2 years. Amen.